The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back as we go into hour two of our daily three-hour seminar here today, September 24th, 2020. Callers on hold. I'll ask you to stay on hold, we'll get to you in just a bit. First, you often hear me say we ignore Abraham Lincoln at our peril. And it is a delight to welcome back to the show my very good and dear friend John Cribb, author of many books, co-author of many books, but author of a brand spanking new book that I can't say enough about, Old Abe, a novel. John Cribb, welcome back to the airwaves of Phoenix.
Hey, Seth, how are you?
I'm doing fine. You doing well, I trust?
I am. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet. I want to get to what we can learn from Lincoln today, given some of the politics and cultural issues we face today. But before I do that, John, you're a South Carolinian. You have spent most of your life, as I understand it, and know you'd in the South. What encouraged you or inspired you to write this biography of Abraham Lincoln's presidency?
Well, I've been a Lincoln fan pretty much my whole life. Some of my friends think it's kind of ironic that, you know, child of the South, South Carolina, cradle of secession. But my mom, when I was very young, read some of my earliest memories. They're sitting on the living room couch with my mom and my brother and sister, and she read aloud to us, including stories about Abraham Lincoln. I was just taken by those stories of him, you know, walking through the woods to get to borrow books, walking miles and splitting logs to make fence rails and studying by firelight. And then when I was in the fourth grade, Seth, our English teacher, Ann Cheney, Mrs. Cheney, had everybody in the class memorize the Gettysburg Address.
Yeah.
And we all had to stand up at the class one day at a time. We each took a day, and we stood up and recited it, much to our chagrin, I'm sure. But, you know, those sentiments and those words sank in deep. It just goes to show, you know, every once in a while it pays to memorize something in school.
Yeah.
And of course, our good buddy Bill Bennett is a big Lincoln fan, and I've learned a lot from him over the years. And so anyway, this is something I've wanted to do for quite a while, and to try to bring him alive with a historical novel.
And you do it. And I want to talk to you about historical novels and their genre, at least as it pertains to your book, in one second. But before, just one more question. John, on Lincoln, there's, I don't know how many books, do you know, on Abraham Lincoln? They're probably more than about almost any other person in history, right?
They say there's more books written about Lincoln than any individual in history.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. About 10 years ago, somebody started counting.
Yeah.
About 15,000. I suspect they stopped.
Right.
And
right.
No more since then.
But right. So,
but the overwhelming majority are, I mean, 99.999% are nonfiction.
Right.
Which is one reason I chose.
Maybe that's the answer to the question you heard me asking, which is, so we have some 15,000 books on Lincoln, why one more? And you had a different angle on it, and it was a novel. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, well, it covers the last 5 years of his life. It starts with his nomination for the presidency in May of 1860, and then you're just at his side, at his elbow, every scene, every chapter, as he goes through the the last 3 years of his life, 5 years of his life, presidency, the Civil War. So there are iconic events like the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation and the Gettysburg Address, and then lesser-known events that make up a life in full, like the moments he stands over hospital beds and looking down at the faces of both Union and Confederate soldiers, or the night he dashes to the White House stables when it catches on fire and tries to get in, even though it's a conflagration, to save his son's ponies and goats. Scenes like that, lesser known scenes. But what I've tried to do here is actually bring him alive for people and make him a walking, talking, breathing fellow, not just that stiff image we see on the penny or the $5 bill, and remind people of who Lincoln was. I hope that if people read it, it not only will bring him alive, but it will remind them and make them understand just what a heroic service he performed
Well, you know what a fan I am, and I haven't read anything like that 15,000 number of Lincoln books. I've read a fair amount, but John, we're talking to John Cribb, author of Old Abe, a novel just came out. But John, the research you'd have to go through, you must have gone through, and I know you're good at this. Gosh knows, given your other projects, to take us with Lincoln every step of the way at his side. How do you even begin that? I guess you start with some of those 15,000 books. I don't know.
I've got about 250 Lincoln books on my shelf here at home.
Wow.
And so a lot of them are books by people who knew Lincoln. That was very crucial for my research. So a lot of great internet research you can do. A lot of websites like the Lincoln Papers at the Library of Congress.
Yep.
You can see the original documents in his handwriting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his collected works are online, all that kind of thing. And then I have a lot of traveling. I mean, I think I've been to every Lincoln site there is.
Wow.
From Sinking Spring Farm, where he was born, to Fort Theater, where he died.
Good for you, John. Good for you. Now, we get to this notion that it's a novel, and you open up with something, because in all the Lincoln reading I've done, you put something right up front there in the opening of this book that I never knew about, and it's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen, and it's the lesson on Lincoln that Tolstoy gave. Tell me about that. How the heck did you find that or learn about that, and what Tolstoy said about Lincoln? It's poetic.
Yeah, it really is, and I have to say, I mean, I knew about it, but
you never told me about it.
Well, it's Bill Bennett, our friend Bill Bennett, graciously did the foreword for this book. It's actually in the foreword, but it's a story that Tolstoy told, or it's a story about Tolstoy from around 1909, and Tolstoy he told it to somebody who wrote it for the New York World, and Tolstoy had been traveling in the Caucasus, that remote. That region between the Black and Caspian Seas,
right.
And he spent some time with a mountain tribe of mountain horsemen, and they begged him to tell them about Abraham Lincoln, and he did. And some of the language is beautiful. But they asked him to tell them about great statesmen and generals.
Right.
He did that, like Alexander the Great.
Right.
And then there's one beautiful paragraph. I'm going to read it to you. You have just one second.
Yeah, I have all the time in the world for this.
He said, Tolstoy says, "When I declared I'd finished my talk, my host, a gray-bearded, tall writer, rose, lifted his hand, and said very gravely, 'But you have not told us a syllable of the greatest general and greatest ruler of the world. We want to know something about him. He was a hero. He spoke with a voice of thunder. He laughed like the sunrise, and his deeds were strong as the rock and sweet as the fragrance of roses. His name was Lincoln, and the country in which he lived is called America, which is so far away that if a youth should journey to reach it, he would be an old man when he arrived.'"
Mm-hmm.
Tell us of that man.
Yeah, tell us.
And that's kind of what this book tries to do.
Yeah, no, I was thinking that there was that kind of inspiration. The entire Tolstoy story is worth reading. It's available online.
Yeah.
And right, Tolstoy struggles and says he does because he's trying to describe a man, such a great leader, such a great hero, who was no Napoleon or Washington, right? He goes on to say, but what Beethoven was in music, and Dante was in poetry, and Raphael in painting, and Christ in the philosophy of life, he aspired to be divine, and he was.
Yeah, isn't that great language?
Yeah.
He calls him a Christ in miniature.
Yeah.
Tolstoy does.
Right. A Christ in miniature. And, you know, I love that line of Clinton Rossiter's. You've gelled to it, I think, as well, when you think of the way Abraham Lincoln died as he was shot on Good Friday and died over Easter weekend. That line of Clinton Rossiter's, who was then a professor at Cornell, said he's the Christ martyr of America's democratic passion play.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that imagery with Lincoln, isn't there?
Yeah, it really is. But if your listeners want to get the full story of Tolstoy, just Google Lincoln on Tolstoy on Lincoln.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Or better yet, buy Old Abe and read Bill Bennett's foreword.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We are talking, after all, to John Cribb, the author of this Old Abe, a novel. John Cribb is C-R-I-B-B, and it's just out. It's really a beautiful book, John. I get questions all the time. Because I source to Lincoln, I quote to Lincoln so much. What are some of the best books on him? And I am delighted to be able to now add yours to that. Lincoln could teach us a lot. As I say, we ignore him at our peril. It's part of his greatness that he taught for the ages, as it was said when he died. Now he belongs to the ages. one of the things that I want to talk to you about, if I can, for a few moments, predates his presidency, and by a lot. I think Lincoln was only 28 or 29 years old when he gave what you and I and the world knows as his Lyceum speech. It was about a time in America not so different, perhaps, from the time we're living in today, time of anarchy rampant in the streets. And we have to take a quick break, but might you think about that on the commercial break and come back with us on what Lincoln may have said in his Lyceum and did through his life that could teach us today that message that I guess we still haven't quite yet learned. We'll be right back with more from John Cribb, author of Old Abe, a novel. We'll go out with the impossible dream. Be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. It's a delight to have with us John Cribb. He's the author of a brand new book on Abraham Lincoln, Old Abe, a novel. John, we'll get to some of the moments in his presidency where you really do begin the book. But before we do, I think it's a bit of an affectation to ignore one of his great, for me to ignore, one of his great great early speeches, which I think does have so much to teach us today. Several lessons we seem not yet to quite have absorbed or learned that I think are, you know, could be used very pertinently now. I'm talking about the message in his Lyceum address. Will you talk to our audience a little bit about that?
Yeah, he gave it in January of 1838, and as you said, he was about 28 years old. He had just moved to Springfield, which is the brand new capital of Illinois. Young man was invited to give this address to a basically a kind of a discussion club. And it, a large part of the, what he talked about was triggered by a couple of things. One, there was a black man in St. Louis who had been accused of murder, and a mob had chained him to a tree and burned him, as I recall. And then not far away in Alton, Illinois, a mob had attacked an abolitionist press and had killed the editor. And Lincoln was reacting to mob violence. One of the lines from that speech is he says, accounts of outrages committed by mobs form everyday news of the time.
Yeah. Right.
That sounds familiar.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Right. And Lincoln argues that that democracy cannot survive.
Right.
Because when this happens, he says, people lose their faith in government.
Mm-hmm.
And they lose their faith in the principles on which our government is founded. And we're in bad shape when this happens. And he, you know, as you know, he talks about that the United States is not likely to be destroyed from a foreign enemy, from within. And he says, if destruction be our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. As a nation of freemen, we must live through all time or die by suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Lincoln is arguing very strenuously that that mob violence is the kind of episode that can really severely damage American democracy.
And resultant from ignoring the lessons of our founding, ignoring the specialness of our both Declaration and Constitution, right? So it seems to me so, as I said earlier, pertinent when you think about what's going on with the 1619 Project, what's going on with the destruction of historical statues, that there is a one-to-one relationship here to what we're
absolutely
seeing.
Absolutely is, yeah. When you see people on college campuses insisting that if they don't like what you have to say, they're going to shout you down.
Mm-hmm.
You don't deserve to be heard. And when statues are torn down, and when governments are saying it's okay to, you know, protest certain things in the street, but you can't have gathered to worship God, you know, those are direct attacks and on our founding principles, and it's a sign of ignorance of those principles and in some cases hostility toward it.
Mm-hmm.
But Lincoln talks about that. He says, you know, the anecdote of this is teaching people reverence of the laws and teaching them the founding principles. And we've been through now, what have we gone on, two, three generations?
Yeah.
Where Americans have not only not been taught history and civics, we've just done a bad job of it, but in many cases, in many places, they've been taught to despise their own country.
Yeah. Yeah, and thus we end up where we are. Yeah, this is what you get. We're talking to John Cribb, author of Old Abe, a novel. All right, John, talk to me about, you know, there are so many touching stories we could select, but one of my favorites is at the end of the war when he goes to Richmond. That story just, it practically brings tears to my eyes. And
yeah, isn't it great?
Yeah, will you tell us that story, please?
Yeah, so it happens on April 4th, 1865, and it takes up a chapter in the latter part of Old Abe, and all the chapters in Old Abe, I should say, because I let me pause and just say I tried to make this as historically accurate as I possibly could. There are no vampires or zombies.
Right. Right.
I'm trying to give you a true picture, but it's historical fiction because I'm trying to bring it alive, but I've really tried hard to make it accurate.
Yep.
And so all the chapters have dates on the pedum, so you can kind of, you know, when this happened. But he goes to Richmond, Richmond Falls. And Robert E. Lee's army is still in the field, and Grant's army is chasing it. But when Richmond falls, Lincoln says, "I want to see Lincoln." He says, "I feel like I've been living through a nightmare for 4 years. I want to see Richmond."
Yeah.
So he takes a steamboat up James River. He is, at the time when it falls, he's at City Point, which is a big Union depot down at the conjunction of the James and Appomattox Rivers. And he takes a steamboat up the river with his son, Tad. He turns 12 that day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just this remarkable story is true. He takes about 12 Marines and a few officers with him, and he just walks into Richmond. They land and they walk into Richmond, and it's a scene of utter destruction. I mean, block after block of smoldering city ruin, because as the Confederates pulled out, they set fire to some tobacco warehouses, and the flames spread. And of course the people are stunned to see him. And there are several amazing stories connecting with it, but one of it is that when there's a black man sees him and he realizes who he is, and he calls out, and others gather, and they kneel down to him.
Mm-hmm.
And Lincoln says, "Don't kneel to me. That isn't right. You must kneel only to God."
Mm-hmm.
He says, "You're free. Free as the air." He says, "Cast off the name of slave and trample on it. Liberty is your birthright now." This is basically more or less the scene that is being depicted in that statue
the Emancipation statue,
yeah,
which
that,
is that, also on the chopping block right now.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
"Don't kneel to me. That isn't right. You must kneel only to God."
To God, yeah.
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 Yeah. And I think a little bit about that, too, when people take a knee these
mm-hmm.
days,
yep.
not understanding our history, I have to
yep.
tell you. Well, it's poetic, and the way you handle his death and what happens after, John, it's just masterful. It's just masterful.
Oh, thanks.
And now you have given the country, with your book, Old Abe, a novel, you have now given me three books I recommend when people, and will recommend when people say, "What's the best book to get to know Lincoln?" There are now three: Alan Gelzo's, Harry Jaffa's, and John Cribb's.
John, yeah, well, those are, you. I mean, to be in, that is rarefied company.
Well, no doubt their books are part of your 250, no doubt.
Yeah, oh gosh, yes, yeah.
No
and
doubt.
Of course, I mean, Jaffa is, of course, a legend, and Alan Gelzo is one of the greatest living Lincoln historians.
I was privileged to be able to have the bragging rights of introducing Alan Gelzo to Harry Jaffa. Email had just come
really?
Out. Yeah, email had just come around when his book, his first book on Lincoln was published, and I read it, and I noticed he dedicated it to Jack Kemp, so I was equally interested for that reason. And I noticed in the book he didn't mention Harry Jaffa, and I thought it was so Jaffa-esque, and I found his email, and I emailed him because he was at a college, so you could find his faculty address, and I said, "I know you didn't mention Harry Jaffa, but it seems like something you might want to do or read." And he goes, "You obviously haven't read the end notes." And I went to the end notes immediately. Jaffa, 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 Jaffa. And I put them to, I said, "Would you like to meet him?" And he said, "Boy, would I." And I was able to put them together. John Cribb. Yeah.
Man, that's great.
Yeah. John Cribb, God bless you. Thank you for this book. And thanks for taking some time with us today and for bringing Lincoln alive to yet a new generation.
Thank you. Thank you, Steph. I really appreciate you having
me. You betcha. The book is Old Abe, a novel. The author is John Cribb. We'll be right back.